My Chains. This new album has just been released by my friend Alex Gilroy and soon to be your friend. I think everybody has forgotten something about our busy lives. That, you know, we are so focused on deadlines, politics, social media, and getting to know that sometimes we just forget to enjoy today. And that is what music does. Music reminds us that we're alive. It slows our heartbeat. It changes our mood. It awakens memories. It helps us celebrate and helps us grieve. It brings strangers together that suddenly find themselves singing that very same song. Science tells us that music can reduce stress hormones, improve memory, lift depression, and even strengthen social connection. But honestly, I think we've all known that long before any science has ever measured it. But think about it. If you have one song that takes you back to your first love or your first dance or your wedding, your parents, a road trip, a summer that changed your life, and great musicians don't simply entertain us. They give us moments that we're going to remember for the rest of our lives. And today's guest is someone who understands exactly that. Alex Gilroy, who you're going to get to know, was born in Transylvania, Romania. And guess what? It is a real place. And he's classically trained as a pianist. And everything changed when he discovered the music of Stevie Ray Vaughan. And that moment completely redirected his life towards blues, guitar, and eventually brought him all the way to America to pursue his dream. But did you know that he was a finalist in The Voice in Transylvania? And also, he's got this new album called Break My Chains. Alex, welcome to the show. It's such a thrill to have you here.
Mary, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I first met you because my friend Denise introduced us into your lovely mother-in-law, and it was us going to see the Blue Goat. You're a co-owner there of the Blue Goat. Yeah. Tell us about your Central Florida little, I want to hear about the Blue Goat and what you're doing right there at the top of the hour, and then we're going to go back and talk about your story.
Well, yeah, the Blue Goat just started as a little idea. My father-in-law Phil had his company there, and when his company merged with a bigger company, that place kind of remained empty. And my band and I were rehearsing in a little shed. It was really cold in wintertime, so we're rehearsing and it's cold. And I told him, it's like, why don't you rehearse in the space? You know, so I'm like, yeah, we can put some instruments and start rehearsing. It was an empty space, and we started doing it. I'm like, because he has some classic cars there and it looks nice. I'm like, what happens if we put a stage? Well, what happens if we put some lights on?
Oh,
and before
yeah.
you know it, we yeah. kind of have a listening room. And I'm like, what happens if we just put a show here?
What happens if we put an audience? it sells tickets.
So it started like that, yeah. you know, like, and it's a listening room, and we love playing. It's like our home base as the band, you know.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that you're the first musician that I've had on the show, and so I just know how happy you have made the people that are in your audience. I was at recently the Imperial on Park Avenue in Winter Park, and you know they have a lot of bands that are great. It's fun, and everybody mills around and has a good time. You made everybody just turn around, and it was shocking to see. We were just in awe of how people responded to your playing. And so I want people to understand who you are and what your journey has been like, because it truly has been really special. But what this guy could do, you guys, if you're looking for a fun evening out with you and your mate, and even my mother, 95-year-old mother, came and had a great time to see you perform. So I just think people need a little bit more of that and a little bit more of Alex Gilroy. And the fact that you're in Central Florida is such a blessing all of us. So I want to hear about growing up in Transylvania. Tell us what your childhood was like.
Oh, yes. So back in 1654.
The vampires.
The vampires. No, I grew up in a very, very musical family. My father was a musical man. He was a musician himself. Mm. When he was a youngster, he was playing in a band, guitar with his sister. Mm-hmm. My aunt, she's a professional singer. She did the Eurovision.
Oh, cool.
You know, writing music and touring Romania and Europe and so on. And then my father was a musical manager for a pretty famous Romanian folklore singer.
Oh, nice.
So music was always in my
family.
Okay. So growing up, you know, like my father was tuning his guitar.
Yeah.
I was a little baby. I was sitting in the cradle and I matched the tone of his guitar string.
No way.
So he's like, stays in the middle. I think he has a talent.
So
that's how it started, you know. It's like, what happens? It's like, let's watch some music. Let's put an MTV
on
it, you know.
Fun.
So, and then I started singing the songs that my from this folklore artist, Romanian music, that my father was managing. And, you know, as a three-year-old, four-year-old around that age, I was able to sing a verse and a chorus of this song. My father's like, okay, we got to put him on stage.
So how old were you?
Around four, I believe.
Oh, my gosh.
So they put me on stage. There was a big theater in my hometown when the guy came to, you know, on his tour.
Yeah.
It's like, we have a special guest, Alex, who put me on stage. And I sang that little verse, and I remember the crowd seeing a four-year-old singing.
Oh.
You know? And there was so much energy and the spotlight in my eyes. I'm like, I think I like this. I don't know what this
is,
but I need to do this.
That's so fun. So when you're on the American Idol, it's going to be, they're going to show the four-year-old. I'm just saying, I'm just predicting. We have not talked about American Idol at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd want to do that or not. But so you were also trained as a classical pianist.
Yes. So my parents, you know, they realized I have a talent. They said, okay, we gotta put him into school to like develop his skills. So in Romania, we have a vocational vocational school from the first grade to the 12th grade.
Oh, that's so smart. We should have that.
Yeah, that
we
worked.
Don't.
I mean, you're doing all the normal classes, you know, like math, biology, and so
Are
on.
Are you doing classical, too? Do you learn classical?
It's only classical.
That's the best. Classical is the best education.
To start with. And I only had two options. It's either violin or piano in the beginning, first grade.
Okay.
So my parents said piano. They bought me a piano. They were very supportive. So I was very lucky that way that I had parents that, you know, like supported me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I did a piano for 6 years, classical piano. They put me, I had a very stern, extremely talented and good teacher, but she was very stern.
Did she knock your fingers with a ruler or anything like that? Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's like the old nuns.
Yeah. But it was all in love.
Yeah, sure. It was all in love.
But it's my parents, you know, she asked my parents when they put me in music school, do you want him to be a professional musician or an amateur?
Mm.
When they said professional, then everything changed.
Ooh. What was the difference?
The difference is like, you're going to stay here in this class until you get it right.
Oh.
Well, we've been here 4 hours. I don't care. I'm hungry. We'll order food. And I would call my dad. I'm like, she's not letting
me
go
mean.
Home. Yeah, it's like, well, now it's like, you got to do it.
Wow. So you went through the sacrifice early and you were disciplined early.
Yeah.
To be able to learn and the scales and all the stuff that you have to learn as a musician.
Yeah.
So do you now play with notes or do you play by sight, by hearing?
Mostly by ear.
So you do?
Because I read all this music, but when I went into the blues.
Yeah.
You got to listen and feel for it.
Oh,
so it's a different.
Oh, it's totally a different genre.
It's a different. Yeah, it's a different animal. You gotta. You gotta steal it by ear.
Oh my gosh! And Alex is somebody who feels the music. I've never seen another person, but I know that you are a fan. And really, Stevie Ray Vaughan, when he entered your life, you resonated with it. Have you modeled after him? Okay.
Absolutely. So what happened was I was practicing piano and I was not having a lot of fun doing music. Mm-hmm. We always have a guitar in the house that I didn't touch really, but then my father bought a car from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living in Romania, but he bought it from Michigan, shipped it over to Romania. And it just happened that it had a DVD with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, my God!
So I was 12 years old when I saw that. And I was like, I want to do whatever he does.
Oh, my God!
So that's how it started.
So because my boyfriend told me that Stevie Ray Vaughan does funny faces.
Well, it's all guitar players do.
If
you look at Santana, if you look at John Mayer, it's like...
it's not funny faces. It's really getting into the music. It's feeling the music. It's being passionate. It's because you become the music.
Yeah. There's G-forces that
pull
on you when you're going into...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great because even when singers do it, they get more out of it. You get more out of your utensil, your instrument of yourself when you're doing that.
You become an instrument.
Yeah,
so.
You do become an instrument. So yeah, and you totally
you just let
are.
It flow.
Yeah. So so you played until what time? I know that you then were on The Voice in Transylvania.
Yes.
How old were you when you did that?
I was, let me remember, around 19 years old when I did that.
Oh, so you were young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or around 20, because what happened? No, actually, you know what? I was 21, and I remember why, because I went to Berklee College of Music. That was my dream to come to America.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great music school.
Yeah, so, but yeah, then I did The Voice just to be able to go to the college. I was a finalist. I didn't get the money. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But then I ended up in Chicago playing at Buddy Guy's Legends.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you took the chance to come over to America.
Oh, I love it.
And
I love it every day.
Has it been productive for you?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so glad you settled in Central Florida. We are talking right now to Alex Kilroy. He is the owner of The Blue Goat, and also he just launched his album. What's the name of the album again?
Break My Chains.
Break My Chains. All right, guys. He's located in Maitland, Florida. We're talking to Alex Kilroy. This is the Mary Gardner Show. We're going to take a quick break to talk to our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Kilroy, and he is a phenomenal musician who just published his first album, Break My Chains, and he is one of the co-owners or the co-owner of the Blue Goat in Maitland, Florida, which is a phenomenal new place to go and see him and some other performers. Alex, tell me about that song we were just listening to. You just told me a quick story that was pretty phenomenal.
This is the only cover we did on the album by the Allman Brothers, Midnight Rider. And when I was in the studio recording it, Karen, her name is Karen Sweet. She was the wife of Dwayne Rollins, who was the guitar player for Molly Hatchet. And while I was in the studio trying to get the inspiration to play this Southern rock anthem guitar solo, I said, I don't feel inspired. And she's like, oh, I'll get you something to be inspired about. She's like, would you want to play Dwayne's guitar?
Oh,
and yeah, he passed away in 2006. It was the last one to ever touch the guitar, you know, and that note. You know, it's something that you find at Hard Rock Cafe on the wall, and I'm like, wow. And she brought it from the storage, from the vault, and she brought it in. And it was crazy. The strings were perfectly in tune. The guitar, like, I plugged it in, and I remember my producer, Trace Sasser, he said, don't play anything. Just hit record and see what comes on the spot. Because, you know, sometimes as an artist, you start playing and playing and playing, and then the first take is usually the best one you're going to do.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, don't touch anything, tune it. Okay, hit record, and that's what's on the record.
One take.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's an amazing story. Yeah. And that's on the album.
Yeah, and that's
on the album. It's so special.
Yeah, it was
that's
very
so
special.
Cool. So, all right, take me back. So you actually were classically trained.
Yes.
You went to the Big Swanky Music School. How'd you get in there? I mean, how did that all happen?
Oh, well, it's all my doing.
Okay.
But, like, I told my parents, you know, I had an American dream even before I started playing music.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 6 years old, I told my mom that I wanted an American flag to hang over my bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I said my home is America, and I felt like I was just visiting Romania. So I got to make it home. That was my feeling.
Oh, my gosh. That's how we're supposed to feel about heaven.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go home one day. Isn't that funny that people, I mean, we don't even appreciate that as much as when hearing it from you, who's like a sharp professional musician, that a dream was to come to America. And here we grow up with it. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sometimes when you look at it from a different perspective, you appreciate things more.
Yes.
That taught me a lot in life to, like, look at things from different perspectives, and then you see a different, you know, you have a different approach to life. But yes, my parents said, okay, you can go to America, but you need a very good reason to go. You cannot just willy-nilly grab your guitar and just hop on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
First, you need a visa. You know, so when you go there, it's like, what are you going to say? You just, I just want to go check it out.
Yeah, right.
So
you came legally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had I played a whole summer of weddings to save money.
Oh, nice.
For Berklee, because they had a summer program.
Okay.
So I went online, and when I got enough money, I paid for it. So they gave me a confirmation.
Wow.
And that's how I went to the visa and said, this is what I'm doing. And they said, okay, go. And I went to Berklee when I was 20, And I did the summer program there. And then they said, hey, you know, you're pretty good. Would you wanna be a Berklee student?
Wow.
I said, I'd love to. I said, okay, get some songs ready for tomorrow.
Okay.
And you have an audition with the board.
Okay.
I did that. And a couple of months later, I got two letters. One that says I was accepted into Berklee, and the other one that I had a scholarship.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was great.
Oh, that's so great.
But it was a half ride, not a full ride.
Okay.
So I still needed more money. So that's how The Voice came to be, because Romania doesn't have, like, loans, and it didn't work out.
Okay, okay.
So I went to The Voice because I'm like, if I win The Voice, it's 100 grand.
Oh,
I can go to Berklee. Berklee was 65,000.
Okay.
Minus the 20 that I got from the scholarship. Anyway, so I did the whole thing with The Voice, and I was a finalist, and it came the night of the final. It was just me and another girl, and she's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that close, and I lost that night. So the loser doesn't get anything, right? I did get recognition in Romania.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So what happened was very beautiful, that a lot of actors in Romania, singers, actors and TV personalities, they mm-hmm. loved the story. It's mm-hmm. like, we got to get Alex to Berklee somewhere or another.
Oh, my God.
So a friend of mine, who's an actor, Michael, wrote a song called Paid Forward. So we did a type of thing, you know, like We Are the World, where we did got all in the studio, and big artist came to
to help you get to America.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I want to cry. That's so sweet. Oh.
And that ended up in a beautiful, humongous show in Bucharest at a brewery. It's one of the biggest live venues.
Wow.
And we got a couple of thousands of people showed up that night.
Wow.
And all the profits, the tickets, and everything went to me. It was great. Was not enough to go to Berklee, unfortunately. But was still like. You know, that's when I was like, okay, now I got some money. I got a visa.
Yeah.
What's my next step?
Okay.
I'm not going to stop. So I called my teacher at Berklee, Jeffrey. I said, Jeff, I'm not going to be able to make it to Berklee, unfortunately. He's like, man, you're playing the blues. You just have to follow your heart. Go out there and play with the people. Play in the clubs.
That's
go
right.
Go learn.
That's right.
Go in the field.
That's right.
It. You don't need to go to school to play the blues.
That's right.
I said, okay. So I said, Buddy Guys was one of my influences, and he has a club in Chicago. So I said, I really want to play there. How can I play there? Well, let's go on the internet and find the manager's phone number. And I found the talent booker, his phone number. I pick up the phone. It was 3 a.m. in Romania. I called and I said, hey, I'm John Smith. I'm Alex Kilroy's manager. Let me tell you about this guy. He just did The Voice. He's on a tour in the United States. I just made it all up. And he's going to be in Chicago in August. And he'd love to play at Buddy Guys. Like, can you send me an EPK? Sure. Send all the videos, all the YouTube, the turning the chairs, all that.
Oh, my.
And some live performances. And I got an email back being like, oh, August 18, he's going to open up for this band. I think it was Guitar Shorty or something like that.
Wow.
Trombone Shorty. And and then I'm like, wow, I got myself a gig at Buddy Guys.
Were they going to pay you, or was it like a freebie?
We never talked about
okay,
money.
Okay, yeah.
So
you're just going.
I'm
who cares?
I'm right. Just going. And yeah. I'm like, that's... I called my teacher. I said, can we put a band together? Because I didn't know anybody in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or in Chicago. So mm-hmm. he gave me some phone numbers. I sent him the music.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hop on a plane, went to Chicago. I went to the south side of Chicago. Wow. The next day, did a rehearsal with them. And the next day, we played at Buddy Guy's Legends. Okay. And I got to meet Buddy Guy, which was great.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I met another guy, because... his name is Luca Chiellini, incredible piano player. And, you know, he was like, he said me straight, because like, what's your status here? I'm like, my status?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I have a visa. It's like a visitor. He's like, well, you cannot play.
I'm
like, what? He's like, you need to get an artist visa. I'm like, what is that?
Oh, okay.
So he taught me how to get an artist visa,
because
that allows you to, you know, you get your social security number. You get your papers.
That's amazing.
So as a visitor, you can come and take pictures, stay for 6 months, and go home. You cannot go gig.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay. So that taught me a lot.
Wow.
He put me in contact with a great lawyer from entertainment lawyer from Los Angeles.
Okay.
And the guy costed as much as the money I had from the show.
Oh my
so I'm
gosh.
Like, it was quite a bit, but I'm like, okay, let's go for it. So,
wow.
So, and the guy said, okay, now you got to go back to Romania and wait for a decision. Oh. So I went back to Romania. But okay. A good thing that happened while I was there, Dancing with the Stars, the Romanian NBC bought Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And the producer really liked my playing and my singing, and he said, would you want to be the guitar player and singer for Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, nice.
So then I did that production while I was there.
So you got paid?
I got paid very well.
Wow. Brilliant.
So that was great. So while I was staying there, you know, I made enough money to be like, okay, when I got my artist visa, I just grabbed it and I came back to America. This time I went to Philadelphia. We have very good friends there, family friends, my parents' friends. They're Romanians. They moved here in the 90s and did very well for themselves. And they were very nice, you know, they're like, okay, you can live with us until, and I got my driver's license. I had to take all this stuff again, right?
Yeah.
My driver's license, I had to do it all over again.
That's so funny.
And I got my social security number, I got my driver, like everything. So now I was able to like, the artist visa, the way it works, it gives you 3 years.
Okay.
You're allowed to live in America, pay taxes, work, do whatever you want for 3 years.
Okay.
And every 3 years, you have to renew it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
The artist one.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I'm listening to your hero's journey right now.
Yeah.
And that you had this dream from when you were young.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people can glean from your story that there were so many obstacles that you had and you kept overcoming them. You also were able to embrace your community and also inspire them to do things for you. And people open up doors, and that's how we all need each other. And it's amazing how many people helped you on the journey and they asked you questions. Did you have your artist visa? And just step by step by step. And you had to have faith the whole time.
Yeah.
You were not going to stop. But you also got the door slammed in your face. You got to leave. You can't stay here. So it's amazing to hear how the story has unfolded for you. And I'm so excited to hear you. Then you were in New York, or you were in Nashville,
Philadelphia, and
Philly,
then Nashville.
And then Nashville, who you were able to tell me quickly about the experience in Nashville.
Well, Nashville was incredible. I lived there for 6 years. It was incredible to play that much music. Like I was playing sometimes 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day on Broadway, but it becomes it will burn you out.
Sure is.
Yeah.
That's really.
I learned a lot. I got to tour with people. I got to meet an incredible musician. So,
Oh my gosh. Nashville's so fun.
It is. We were just in Nashville with my band from Orlando. We went with On One Band and we did four showcases.
Oh my gosh. Are you open to talking to some people that are there right now that I could put you in touch with?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I've got two people I would like to introduce you to.
Let's do it.
My boyfriend's son. Hey, Nathan. My boyfriend's son, Nathan Ice, is there right now. And he's he plays by ear and he's a pianist.
Oh,
he's phenomenal. So I can't wait to introduce you. All right, we're sitting here talking to Alex Kilroy of The Blue Goat and his new album. Again, tell us again the name.
Break My Chains.
Break My Chains. Okay, we're talking to Alex Kilroy and you're listening to The Mary Gardner Show. We're going to take a quick break to listen to our fabulous sponsors. And when we get back, you're going to hear some phenomenal guitar playing by none other than Alex Kilroy. We'll be right back with The Mary Gardner Show. I'm getting one step closer. Excited that I'm sitting here listening to Alex Kilroy, and Alex is our guest in studio today. And Alex has just released his first album, and he is the co-owner of The Blue Goat in Maitland, Florida, and his album is called Break My Chains, and he was a finalist in Transylvania for The Voice, and so he is classically trained, and I'm telling you, man, I'm a huge fan, and you guys here in Central Florida need to look him up, Alex Kilroy, because we're going to hear some music right now so you can experience a little bit of Alex Kilroy. Go for it, Alex.
Perfect. I'm going to do a Stevie tune since we're talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan. Thank you.
lights in a blind. My baby love me cause the signs are shining. She's my sweet old fan. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm her little lover boy. Well, I'm loving my baby. She's long and lean. You my sweetheart, she's the baby. And she's my sweet old fan. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little darling. I'm her little lover boy. Well, I'm loving my baby like I'm finding some wine. Seaweed over until the end of time. She's my sweet old fan. She's my bride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm her little lover boy.
Everybody, hope you enjoyed that. We're listening. We're doing the Mary Gardner Show right now, and we just had a little live segment on Facebook, and we'll see you later. So anyway, wow, Alex, that was so brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate that, and that was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
That was one of the first songs I've learned how to play.
Oh, it was so great. I know that you're also a songwriter. Tell me about your songwriting journey.
Yeah, I've been writing songs for a long time. Ever since I started playing guitar, I like to, you know, play with ideas and get little songs and little lyrics and see what I can come up with. So as soon as when I discovered Sting, when I discovered songwriting, really I got into it and he inspired me a lot. So yeah, when I kept writing and writing and writing, and a year ago I finally got the debut album together and we recorded it. And I met my fiance Sophia in Nashville, and she's also an amazing songwriter and singer.
Oh, she's both too.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So
we started writing together, and for the International Blues Challenge, we wrote a song together called Angel that ended up being on the album. It's a duet with her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so since that song went so well, we just wrote more together, and we have three songs on the album we wrote together.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's such an accomplishment.
Yeah,
I know. Tell me, I mean, do you think, because I like watching you, I love watching you, and I know that when people are in your presence, there's such an uplifting spirit, it feels like. Do you play more from emotion, or is it more technique? Is it what do you describe your style?
So there is technique for sure. But it's a good question. It's when I practice at home, it's technique, and you know learn all the chops, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But when the magic happens is when you just don't think about anything,
okay,
and you just let it all flow, and you just get into
yeah.
that flow state and let
yeah.
the guitar do the talking and just be present.
So yeah.
And just use your tools that, you practice at home, and
yeah.
then you have the tools, and then you just let it fly.
It's that blink factor, but that you've put in over 10,000 hours of experience and practice. And so now it's just natural for you to be able to do it. And it does. It's amazing to see the difference of what you do to an audience and just how excited people are. And it does seem, because you do a lot of cover songs.
Yeah.
Who are some of the artists that you're covering when you're having a concert?
Oh, well, there's Sting, of course,
yeah.
Eric Clapton, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Freddie King, B.B. King,
You were doing a lot of 80s and a lot of 90s,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I love that time period of music.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, definitely the classics. And then we just put our music in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we're going to do our original song now.
It's amazing that when somebody hears you on stage and they see the expertise that you've developed over time, they have no idea about the backstory and how many hours, and just hearing how your parents really put you with a class act professor or teacher,
yeah,
and made you drill. You did all the scales, all that stuff that we hated, and they didn't care. It was like, you're going to be a professional and you're going to learn this. What advice would you have for somebody who is raising children, who wants their child to, because the classics are so important, and also having a good basis of music, it sets you up for life. Even just the being able to move to music and to love music and put that in your veins is so important. What advice would you tell parents, and what advice would you tell a person who needs a little bit more music in their life, like where to start?
Okay, so for parents, you gotta, communication, like in anything, is key. So mm-hmm. communicating with a child and see exactly what they love,
mm-hmm.
and then explore that option as much as possible, but also create a sense of discipline, because discipline is what helped me a lot. Otherwise, you know, kids would be like, I want to do guitar, and I want to do trumpet, and I want to do this, and I want to do
okay,
that.
Okay.
And my father sat me down and said, look, that's why he didn't want me to change from piano to guitar, because you're already getting very good at piano. That's why he's like, you have a summer to learn 3 Stevie Ray Vaughan songs, and if you can play them, then I'll make the switch.
Oh.
And when I started playing guitar, I wanted to play bass and maybe play some trumpet or some, you know, violin. I got an upright bass in the house. He's like, okay, you got to stop. You don't want to be, play all the instruments mediocre. Like, you got to get one, and that's what is your main.
So
find out what a child really wants. And I'm like, okay, I love guitar. Okay, then you practice guitar.
Okay.
That's what you do.
Did you give up the piano?
Yeah, pretty much.
You can sit down and still play.
I can, yeah. When I produce and there's okay. songs that are, I mean, like on the record, I play some keys.
Okay.
So I know how to play. I'm not as good as I used to be when I was a child,
right.
on classical and
yeah.
But I still understand the piano, and I understand how to.
You really do have to practice, because I also played classical and I played ragtime, and I was really good. And I think I peaked in 6th grade. I was really good. I could sit down. Now, my family would tell you otherwise, because I practice and practice like the same songs over and over and over. They're like, enough already. So, and what if somebody is looking for something new? I know a lot of times we come to the end of our rope. We're like, I'm just bored. I need something new. What would you tell somebody who would like to pick up an instrument and start to practice and learn something? Can they do it when they're in an advanced age of post 30?
Yeah. I'm like, why not? I mean, but give yourself a realistic goal,
okay.
right? If you pick up a violin, it's, I don't know if you're going to pick up a violin at 30, but it happened before. And I don't know if it happened before, but let's say that everybody can do whatever they want. If you dream it, you can do it.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
But I say realistic goals is like, you start with baby steps, and if you can mm-hmm. do that little song, like a baby song, and if you can play it, then
yeah.
you get a satisfaction. It's like, hey, I couldn't play that yesterday, and I can do
right.
it today. So it's a step.
That's right.
With guitar even today. Like
yeah.
when I challenge myself, I do
okay.
incremental, like little steps.
Okay.
Otherwise,
yeah.
you get disappointed.
Yeah.
So for sure.
I know you can practice and do anything. Maybe you're not going to be on stage, but you still could do it and have, you know, enjoyment to it. I know that I got a bongo, and I love drumming.
Yeah.
And I'm like really good at it. I've been on stage a couple times actually, which is pretty hysterical.
So we got a jam.
Yeah, we got a jam. I'm like, I get so into it. You know, I'm like, I'm not, and I watch drummers, and I'm like, I don't have the sticks,
yeah.
but I have the hands that can do it. I'll do it on my boyfriend's back. I'll do it sitting on the back of the car. I do it anywhere. Anytime I got music, it's just in my soul, you
yeah.
know? I just love it. But also, I swam with a guy who passed away. His name was Chris, and he started swimming when he was in his 50s. And he became a world champion in masters, or maybe top 3, in butterfly, like the 200 butterfly. Like, who's going to be doing that? And he ended up passing away a year or two ago. But I do believe that if with practice, people can really, you know, insert themselves, learn, get a good coach, get a good teacher. Actually, now on YouTube, you know, watching people. And
that's how I learned most of my guitar work. Okay. Like, it's YouTube, even to this day. Like,
that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. So. We are talking right now to Alex Kilroy. We went live. It was so fun. We got to hear a little Stevie Ray Vaughan, and we got to hear him in studio. I'm so excited to be with him today, to hear his story, to hear about how music has changed his life and how he came from Transylvania over to the United States and now is in Central Florida. And I can't wait for you guys to see him at the Blue Goat and also to hear his new album, Break My Chains. We're talking to Alex Kilroy. You're listening to Mary Gardner Show, and we'll be right back for a news, a little bit update with our sponsors.
You go. I don't wanna say goodbye. While I'm hiding in my heart, you will never find. And everywhere I go.
Wow, that's just so beautiful. Oh my gosh. You are listening to Alex Kilroy, who just released his first album, Break My Chains, and he was one of the finalists in Transylvania of The Voice, and we now are so lucky to have him in Central Florida. And Alex, I love your voice. It's so smooth. It's so beautiful, and I just love the trance that you put the audience in. It's so amazing, even for people our age. I mean, the other night when we saw you at the Imperial on Park Avenue, I had to go early because I had to get home, and my boyfriend he wanted to get back. He was like, I just want to go back and hear him. And you told me that people danced all night. That was just so brilliant. Yeah. I want to talk about performance for a little bit because I know how important it is to relate to an audience. And I understand that when you're a musician where you are classically trained, you've had all the experience, you've been in Nashville, you've worked in Chicago, you've worked in Philly, which is a big music area. You're from Transylvania, you had all this experience. Then there's another component of it that some musicians never enter or never really master, and that is the performance aspect. They may be a good musician, but how important is it that you also have relationship with the audience? Are you watching the audience? Are you seen? Is there a time where anybody tunes out? I know as a speaker coach, and I've worked as a speaker coach, if the audience is like getting bored or they're on their phones or whatever, you walk over to them, you do something that really entices them to pay attention. How important is it to be so in tune to your audience that you can get what you did? You got them getting up and dancing. How'd you do that?
So it's not really like a, I don't know, like a method. It always changes with the room. So read the room.
Oh, read the room.
Read the room.
Read the room.
And so I usually don't have a playlist when I get on stage.
Oh.
My band knows the songs and I know the songs.
Oh.
But we get in and it's like, what's the vibe here?
Oh,
how are they feeling?
Okay.
So we start playing that. Now, making eye contact with one person, you see that somebody, let's say the whole room is not interested.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one person that is interested.
Mm-hmm.
You make eye contact and you play to that person and you start creating a connection between you and
some
that person.
Energy. Yeah.
And there's an energy.
It's like love. It's creative. It's creative. It's love.
Yeah. And there's an exchange.
Yeah.
What happened, people are like, wait, something's happening here. Wait,
yes.
What? 1 second. I know the game is playing, but what's going on here? Because
people turn around and watch?
They feel that energy.
Oh my gosh, yes. So, it's an electrical current.
Yes, it is. I mean, and then
my God.
Another person joins that first person and another person and another person. Before you know, you have the whole room watching you.
That's a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So you got to establish a connection with at least one person in the room.
Okay. Yeah. There was a study done about leaders, and it's usually when one person starts, or you've got to get that one person, because it's the one person. It's not the leader. It's the one person that actually is the follower. And once the follower happens, then one by one by one, people start to join in. So that's a study that they've done. So what a genius thing you've been able to provide. What do you think? I mean, so I see a lot of performers. I'm like, they don't read the room necessarily, and they play what they want to play. And I'm like, no, look at the audience. Like, they want to hear stuff that relates to them, not the rock music that's gonna, you know, they want to be able to enjoy the music. What would you tell somebody who's in that field or a bar owner or something, or even when I go into restaurants or whatever, and I'm like, can you please turn the music down? Like, can you look around? This is not your audience. What would you tell people?
Well, yeah, I mean, as a bar owner, and if you have a DJ, right, or like you're playing music from your laptop or whatever, you technically become a performer as a bar owner, because mm-hmm. you look at the crowd and see, mm-hmm. I mean, they're sitting down, they're talking, mm-hmm. is a dinner kind of like throwing some Frank Sinatra. I don't know. Keep you know, yeah. keep the mood. I mean, like, you cannot play heavy metal if we're serving like pasta. I don't know. You gotta
right, exactly.
You gotta think in that terms.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, I was very fortunate to learn all these things by being a sideman for a long time.
Oh.
So I played with a lot of artists
okay.
in Romania
okay.
and in America as
okay.
their guitar players. So I'm the guy in the back. But I never, like, you know, I was always watching what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Some did great things, some did not that great. So mm-hmm. I just learned from them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I saw, for example, the guy that my father used to manage in Romania,
mm-hmm.
He was a very good, he always spoke from the heart, and that just goes mm-hmm. a long way.
Yes.
You know? So just, he didn't have a problem with being vulnerable, because
when you're working with hard.
When you're working with a star, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
He was a big VIP, very mm-hmm. artist, right? So people know him. And then you get into the bus, you get into his private space, and you realize he's the same guy as he's on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that shows me that he's okay with being vulnerable. And
yeah,
being,
so then you can make a mistake and it's okay. And you're not ashamed. You don't like fall apart.
Yeah. And it's better that way, to like just be yourself. It will help you. If you make a mistake, you're like, this happened. I forgot the lyrics. Anyway,
people
laugh.
Human.
You're human, and
yeah.
people are there not to see perfection, but to see a human. You know,
that's right.
It's a human experience.
That's right.
We
that's
have
right.
AI now. We have enough perfection in the music.
How is that going to impact musicians, songwriters? I mean, I have a songwriting app. I've written 50 songs. You know,
I think it will help live performers actually.
Okay.
Because, you know, people are starting to get a knack, like, hey, this is, I feel the fakeness of AI.
Yeah.
And although it's beautiful, like, they do some great things. Like, I don't disagree with that. But in the end, you want to see a band perform live.
Absolutely.
I think this AI will help make musicians more valuable.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Up until, you know, we get the robots that can...
They're
gonna
jam
now.
We still want to connect. I still think that's gonna, you know, the human person. What about because I know performing can be very it's terrifying. They say the public speaking is the number one fear, and I love that joke by Jerry Seinfeld, who said that means that people would rather be in the box at a funeral than giving the eulogy. But I don't know if you ever felt fear, but what do you tell people about addressing the fear of whatever they're doing and going for it? How do they do that?
Well, yes, I do. I do have, if I don't have a guitar in my hands and I need to speak in front of an audience,
mm-hmm.
it's terrifying. But it's terrifying because I'm afraid of being vulnerable. So what happened, like, for my first speech, we released our album. The day of the release, we had it at Bang & Olufsen in Winter Park.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people showed up, and it's like, okay, it's time for Alex to take a word.
Mm.
I'm like, you know, the whole day, that kind of hang over my head. I'm like, I'm going to have to say.
Oh, no.
You know, because I'm like, what? So what I did, I just, I felt like jumping out of a plane. And I just was myself. And I actually, and it went over great.
Oh, my gosh.
So people were like, whoa, that was a great speech. And it was like, it was funny at moments. And it was this.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. I didn't write anything down. I just said, hey, there's a bunch of people here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell them.
From the heart.
I spoke from the heart.
That's really the best.
Yeah.
But it is good to have some good stuff to talk about. We're going to take a little slide break, and we're going to go into a really fun section that I love, and it's called You Rock.
You Rock. You Rock. You Rock.
So, Alex, the You Rock section is in honor of my brother Terry, who passed away about 8 years ago, and he was my biggest encourager.
Thank
you.
So wonderful.
And he always told me, you rock, Mary. And he was the biggest encourager to me, even when things were bad. He was like, be happy, just keep going, life is short. And it was short for him. And so I always pick out somebody that really has inspired me, and today the person that I picked out is you.
Oh,
so
Oh, wow.
I just want to tell you that you have put a smile on my face, and you've put a smile on so many faces in Winter Park. And it's like we have new energy here, and it's so exciting to be excited about something and to be able to promote and help and support and watch you perform with your jamming band has been so great. You're bringing people together in such a way that we've needed for a long time. So I just want to tell you, Alex, you rock.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Mary, you rock.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, you get to honor somebody, and who would you like to tell that they rock?
I want to tell my fiance, Sophia, that she rocks.
Sophia.
We're young parents, and she's an incredible mother.
She's
very, very inspiring, and she's so loving, and she's, you know, just an inspiration of, you know, she rocks. For one, I love that when she gave birth, she did it old school, like, you know, like at home, which is incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which is an incredible thing. And she gifted me such a beautiful angel, Bella. Sophia and Bella really rock. So.
Sophia and Bella, you rock. We love you both. I can't wait to meet them.
Yeah.
So great. So anyway, Alex, thank you so much for being here today. You know that life moves really fast, much faster than we realize. And the meetings will end. The emails will be forgotten. The money comes and goes. But the moments, those stay with us forever. And maybe that is why music is so important and matters so much, because it reminds us that life isn't only about making a living. It's about making memories. And as the legendary musician Stevie Wonder once said, music is a world within itself with a language we all understand. No matter where we come from, no matter what language we speak, music has a way of bringing us together. So this week, call a friend, go hear some live music, dance in your kitchen, sing in the car, laugh a little louder, because life is too short not to enjoy it. And thanks to the incredibly talented Alex Kilroy for joining us today. Alex, give us one last word. What's your inspiration for the audience today?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much for having me on your show. And it was an incredible experience.
Aww.
And for your audience, it's like everything you said is amazing. Just be in the present. Remember to stay present. I forget myself, but when I remember to be present, be grateful. Like, if you start a morning with gratefulness, everything goes, you know, you attract more good things.
Amen.
So just think about the good. Thank the Lord for everything that's providing us, you know, like all the good things. Look at the glass, the part that's full, right?
Yes.
So, and then you'll attract more good
I
to your
that.
Life. So.
I love that. Alex, thank you so much. I am Mary Gardner. Until next time, this is the Mary Gardner Show. Go make someone's day a little brighter. Check out my website, marygardner.com, and join us every week and see our former shows. And if you have somebody you'd like to recommend to our show, send me an email at mary@marygardner.com, and we'd love to hear from you. And until next week, stay inspired, and God bless all of us.